Well, welcome here, Lakeview. It is great to have you join us in this start of a new season, this launch of our new ministry year. And as I said, my name is Paul, and I have the honor of being the lead pastor at Lakeview. And we already had a great morning of singing and worshiping, and there's a lot of exciting things planned ahead for us. There's all the inflatables and games, and there's just a lot of stuff happening after the service, including a free meal. So make sure you stick around and get some good barbecue food, and we'll have some communion together that way as we eat together and visit and get to know one another. And I just want to echo what I just said. We have an incredible staff. We have an incredible group of volunteers and leaders, people that have been working so hard this summer planning for this new year and for this new season. And I'm just so thankful for this community. So thank you for coming. Thank you for our staff and volunteers. It's a great season ahead of us. And as I look and as I think about the season before us, I look forward to deepening and developing and amplifying healthy rhythms of life and faith. Amplifying healthy rhythms of faith in our lives as we continue in our mission of joining God in the renewal of all things. And so as we step into this brand new season, we eagerly actually prepare and think about and pray and anticipate, where is God leading us? Where is he taking us? How is he going to be shaping us and forming us as we serve and walk together? Now, one of the things about me, it's the joys of kickoffs, you get to learn a little bit about me, but one of the things about me is that I personally actually really love the changing seasons. Like, I love each season, and I'm glad Saskatchewan has actual seasons. We lived in BC forever, and it was like just a rainy season all the time. But we have real seasons, and I love the change of seasons. And I don't know if it's like the anticipation that there's something new happening. I don't know if it's just like that hope, oh, what's gonna happen? Or if it's like the family traditions that are kind of cooked and embedded in each season that I look forward to. But I love the rhythms of the year and all the things that each season brings. There's something about that endless possibility, right? Like, oh, okay, well, it's summer, it's fall, but hockey trials are starting, or dance is starting, or I'm starting a new job, or whatever it is. Whatever it is, there's like this glimpse of this new possibility. And sometimes even when we look ahead of these seasons, we kind of see what's possible, kind of almost peering around the corner. You can kind of like, oh, I see that hope. I'm aiming for it. I see it there. And it's just this amazing thing that new seasons bring, at least in my mind when I think of seasons. Now, personally, I've been incredibly blessed to have had amazing seasons and milestones in my life. One of my milestones is marrying the love of my life. This year we celebrated 24 years being married. Yeah. It's a lot of years of putting up with me. So that's a big season. That was a life-changing season for me. The birth of my boys changed the trajectory of my life. It's a huge, huge milestone. Becoming a pastor, entering ministry. All these seasons are so, I've been so lucky to be part of those. But I will say, and some of you have heard me say this lots maybe before in this year, is that one of the seasons and milestones in my life that kind of colors a lot of my life and how I view life and how I see things is the moment in life when my family had immigrated to Canada when I was 11 years old. Now, it was a huge transition and change. And I was 11 years old and I didn't speak a word of English. I didn't know any English. I spoke Ukrainian, but I didn't speak English. I spoke a language, but I didn't speak any English. Despite of my lack of ability to communicate, I was still sent to school, which when you're 11, seems like real huge injustice. Like, why would I go to school when I don't understand anything that's being said? Why would I have to go? I mean, of course, as an older person, I understand it's to learn English and, you know, not to get behind on my other subjects. But as an 11-year-old, I questioned these methods. I would sit in classes where people spoke foreign languages all around me. I didn't understand what was happening. I was present, but I wasn't present. You know what I mean? I did not understand at all what was being communicated to me, what was being asked of me, what people were wanting to say to me, and all I could do was just observe and try to guess, really. Like, sometimes I would just guess, I think this is what they're trying to tell me I should do, and I would observe and guess and try to read facial expressions and reactions, and man, that period of time, now that I look back on it, required a lot of grace for the people that were communicating with me, and for me as I was receiving this communication. And they would, at times they would try to tell me something, I just did not understand what they were saying. And I would see they would be visibly getting frustrated with me. And when they would do that thing that people do when you like try to have somebody understand something, but they're not understanding. They would speak slowly and louder. And I was like, yeah, I hear you're speaking slow and loud. I still don't understand what you're saying. So sitting there and listening, it was a bit of like that Charlie Brown experience, that wah, wah, wah. You hear like tones, but you don't know what's happening. And so that whole experience, like, it was frustrating. Especially when you didn't know, at least for me and my personality, it was frustrating. You would get kind of upset that like, I'm getting things wrong. Like something's being asked of me, but I'm not getting it right. And I was like getting mad at myself. And it just required a lot of grace in this confusing time. Now the funny thing about that experience is I don't actually remember when this happened or exactly how it happened, but bit by bit, I began to understand the language. And I don't know if it was like, and it wasn't, I was in the ESL class as well, but it wasn't like, oh, hello in this language means hello in this language. No, like I could actually understand what they were saying without learning the word that people would say in class, if that makes sense. It's a little fuzzy, I get that. But there was a moment in time, all of a sudden I was like, oh, I know what this means. I know what they're saying, what they're wanting me to do. And I don't know if it was in class that this happened, or if it was at recess time, or if it was like on the outdoor rink or football field or in the hallways. I don't remember exactly how or when, but over time, listening, watching, observing, looking carefully at facial expressions, and of course, learning the words, over time, these sounds began to have meaning. Words began to mean something. And it was as if simply by being present around a certain group of people, simply joining in made a massive difference. It helped me learn and understand and embrace a language. Simply observing how people used words when they used them began to make sense of this new vocabulary that I began to develop. I even began to be able to anticipate what certain sentences meant before I even knew what all the words in the sentence meant. Wild, right? And slowly over time, as my vocabulary grew, my internal understanding grew, I began to connect not only the meaning of words, but the ideas and instructions and actions that they carry. And more than that, I was able to embrace the full weight of feelings, hopes, and intentions rooted in those words. And because of that, I could now join in a fuller way that seemed impossible just only a few months earlier. I could join in the life of my school, in the life of my friends, and what seemed foreign had now slowly started to become home. In short, I could participate and play a part in the life of my classroom, in the life of my friends, and in the life as a new Canadian. Now, for some of you, this new season at Lakeview will feel foreign. They'll feel like there's foreign language. And yet for some of you, you will feel like you're an expert linguist in the language of Lakeview. You have seen many seasons of Lakeview and God's work and his faithfulness and the seasons and milestones. And yet whether you're new or this will seem like a thing you know, I believe that in this new season, each group will feel something new and something familiar. But either way, the invitation into this new season for all of you, for all of us, is to join in. And I say this because a lot of our language of joining in is tied to the identity and mission of this church and community. Our mission is joining God in the renewal of all things. And so as we start this new season here at Lakeview, whether you are new or have been here a while, there's an invitation to join in this mission. And so today, we are starting a brand new series in this brand new season, in this brand new ministry year, entitled, Join In. I know, creative, right? It's a new series with a familiar title, familiar language. Familiar for those who call Lakeview their home. It is rooted in our mission. We are joining God after all. Now, whether you're new or you've been here a while, if our mission is joining God, maybe a fair question for us is to ask, well, how do we do that? How do we join God? Or more than that, how do we know what God is even up to? And what is he actually renewing? And what and how or why should I join in? Now, in previous seasons, there were great ways that we have done that as a community, as a church, and we can look back at God's faithfulness and say, look, joining in, this was transformative, this was life-giving, this was God's work in our midst. Sure. But what about this new season? As we ask these fair questions, I believe what will help us and guide us and walk us through this new season is this new series in joining in will be the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews is located in the New Testament, second part of the Bible, and it'll be a great guide, I believe, for us how to join in and why to join in. And so over the next couple of months, we're going to explore this book. Now, the book of Hebrews is actually my favorite book in the Bible, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Whatever book I preach on, I say it's my favorite book in the Bible, so do without as you will. But it's one of my favorite books in the Bible, partially because it doesn't read a lot like the rest of the Bible. Like, it's not an epistle, it's not a letter, and it's not a gospel. Like, it's not the announcing of the good news. It actually reads more like a message, like somebody's saying something. It reads kind of like a sermon. As a person who spends a lot of time trying to write and think about sermons, hoping that they're not too clunky, Hebrews just feels like home. And in this written sermon, there's a clear pilgrimage, a clear journey that the author is inviting the listeners into. It's as if he's saying, actually, join in. Come on, hold fast. You have heard, but I say. And he's inviting us into this journey, and he's telling us to join in. And in fact, he starts his whole book with these two verses. He says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. So right out of the gate, there's no introduction like the epistles or letters have, you know, this is Paul writing to you, church. There's none of that. None of that is happening. There's no greeting. We just simply learn that God spoke. And we learn that God speaks. And we learn from the author of Hebrews that God has done this many times, through many ways, through many people, but now, in these days, he speaks through his son. These first words just jump out at us. God speaks. And if he does, the question we should follow up with is, well, if God speaks, are we listening? If God speaks, are we listening? And if we are we speaking the same language? Do we understand what is being said to us? Are we tracking? Now, those of us who are Bible readers who have grown up in the church and have heard the Bible read or explained can attest that the Bible is this beautiful collection of writings. Beautiful. And yet, it's a collection of complex set of writings that are hard to understand at times. And at times in seasons of life, some parts of the Bible read clear and light. And yet at other seasons, even the same parts of the Bible read murky and heavy. So it requires careful reading, observing, listening, and understanding. And the author of Hebrews tells us plainly that long ago God spoke through prophets. And we will see as we unpack the book together in the next months that this author is very knowledgeable of the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible. He knows all about the prophets and the priests and the kings. And he will take us on a tour how to understand and how to interpret what God spoke through them. But ultimately, he will come back and bring us back and invite us to join in into this interpretation that for the author of Hebrews, the clearest and most vivid way that God speaks now is in Jesus. Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. He invites us on a journey where he explains that God spoke and he speaks. He's inviting us to join in, to sit, to learn, to observe, to pay attention, to listen, to hear what God says to us in Jesus. So some of what is said, we will find out, will sound foreign. I believe it will as we go through Hebrews. Some of it will sound murky or confusing. We will feel like we're not speaking the same language. But the author says, join in. Listen, join in. Soak it all in. And what seems impossible to understand, what seems especially hard to understand, when things will not align with the hard parts of life, the unfair parts of life, the hopeless parts of life, the author will invite us to join in and observe how God speaks in Jesus. And we will be tempted to go back and say, but wait, this other part, the prophet said it this way, and this has happened, and God, didn't God do this and say that? And the author will help us to slow down and to pay attention and to interpret in Jesus. So he says God speaks. And he asks the readers, the listeners, to pay attention. To not just listen, but to hear. To build your vocabulary in Jesus. He will ask things like, have you begun to connect ideas and instructions and actions that Jesus communicates? And more than that, are you able to embrace the full weight of the feelings, hopes, and intentions rooted in Jesus? Are you listening? In Jesus, can you begin to anticipate what he may even say to you, what he may call you to, what may he ask you to do before you understand all of it? Could you anticipate what he's saying before understanding all of it? And the author simply says, join in. In fact, I want to suggest that we will see that for the author of Hebrews, he's not only suggesting, but he's utterly convinced that if we listen in Jesus, if Jesus becomes our language, if he becomes our lens, our complete representation of who God is, if Jesus becomes that, Hebrews suggests that we will see that Jesus then is in fact the ultimate solution to all of the world's problems. Whoa. Like, that's a lofty claim. And because of that, over the next few months, we will investigate, we will study, we will wrestle with the book as we join in. And friends, like learning a new language, it will be tough. It will push us and maybe even frustrate us. And we will need grace for one another. But what we will notice is the author of Hebrews claims, what his claims are is that they're rooted in God's promise that God speaks, and when he does, creation, transformation, and renewal becomes possible. John begins his gospel with these words. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. John reminds us that Jesus is the Word. All that was created through him. He speaks, God speaks in Jesus. Are we listening? So would you join in? Would you join in on our journey to learn this language, to hear what God says, to not just listen, but to hear and understand what he means for us? And I suspect if you do join in, I suspect that you and I will learn that joining in will require a lot of grace for one another. The joining in will require a lot of grace for others, and others will require a lot of grace for you. I suspect we will discover that joining in this new season is a journey of grace. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that you speak. And I thank you that you have spoke the clearest to us through Jesus, in Jesus. God, I thank you that we have an opportunity to join together and to learn this language, a language that offers grace and love, a language that allows us to be light in the world that feels murky and frustrating, a language that helps us have a lens and clarity for life despite darkness, brokenness, because your light has overcome darkness. God, we thank you for your love and your grace. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.